the director general.
Hi, good morning. I'm Holly from PMG.
Good morning. My name is Tony Labula from the Communication here in Parliament.
Good morning. My name is Temba Kutula from Parliamentary Communication Center.
Thank you.
advocacy program, one of the members, explored the utilization of alternatives in the scholarship. And that also very said, and I think this is also crucial, is the training of the local builders, which is also form a center part in terms of the program. We will not compromise the quality in the program. What we'll be using is training local builders who will also build the houses in the local community. Quality will drop from paramount as an end product. And of course, at the end of the day, we'll do the testing of the program so that we can roll out in future on a national basis. A number of benefits and approaches from our members to the pilot of the program. We seek to empower the local builders so that they could be used for future development, people in their area as well. Also, the initial investment from the pilot of the program will include infrastructure setup, training, and also the certification of the local trade builders. The reality, honourable members, that the cost of management, because this is a pilot, will be on the high side initially, but over time that will be reduced as beneficial part of the things that true to their community. And also, critically, the question of lesson learned, which I also touched on briefly, and also the implementation of the lesson will form a crucial part of the pilot program. Another thing, remember, these are the institutional arrangements in the province, in the little bit state, but we do have the provincial department of human settlement. We also have the professionals like your Twitter and your NHGRC. But Finland, as I said, the beneficiaries will be taking a center stage. The beneficiaries will play a very important role in terms of the construction and also in terms of the monitoring and information of the program. NYCHA will be the implementing program agent. There will be quality coordinator on site, and also there will be installation of suppliers. There will be lots of suppliers. This suppliers will be the local suppliers in the area. With your permission, members, I won't go into details including the program myself, but these are the milestones we expect for the pilot of the program, and we have set ourselves goals to ensure that we are here. But critical, I think, the question of stakeholder involvement and engagement, I think, is very crucial. But all of those must be agreed that we will have to adhere to them. With your permission, I'm not going to share, I want to go into the detail. I want to I'll spend more time in terms of the program, but it's actual program in the country. Stakeholder engagement, one of the must be the proposal of the project, legal arrangement, system development measures, and the program manager will develop systems. The implementation of the program. Technical preparation, that is also crucial, as well as the training of the local people that will come in. Beneficial management is also the federal, given the nature of the program. Construction process, I think the question of local inspection will be very crucial to achieve the quality that I referred to initially. Payment and financial administration is also the other key milestone. Program monitoring and evaluation. Maybe I need to highlight this last night's tool that is the social sharing committee that was present on the ground. I think it's really a very important in terms of monitoring and evaluation of the program. One of the members, this is the summary of the budget allocations for the program, which works to a total of 51 million for the 500,000 that will be constructed in the project within the next 12 months. Now, spend more time in terms of progress on the ground to date. A lot of time, one of the members of spend in preparation because we have to be sure that we are fully prepared, all the administrative and preparatory work we have done for the program. Stakeholder mobilization took a center stage. There were consultation sessions with all the stakeholders in the target areas facilitated by the National Department with the province as well as us. And as I said, one of the members, the MEC, the province launched the program in March 2021. We have set up project steering committees in the pilot area, and we have done housing consumer education, which I think is very crucial for the people to understand not only their roles, but also their responsibilities in this regard. And that program is ongoing.
training. To this leader, after they've been empowered, they get a certificate. The other one, what will happen to those leaders that have been trained after this project?
Can we check if let me also welcome the organization? They are not going to go very nice because, you know, the women's life, but in the women's life, they are actually come. But if maybe we can be informed in this process, how many dogs will be created, and in this project, how many women will benefit, youth, and people with disabilities? And I heard the presenter saying that project steering committee. Maybe if you can really specify who forms part of the steering committee. And then the contractor, the builder, as my colleague said, after how many, if you train them, are there women also part, taking part in the training program? And to make sure that they are really going to do the right job, we're not going to come after and see what how do you check the quality, and or maybe I can say how are you sure that they are going to do the right thing. And then in the Eastern Cape, if you can tell us the municipality that was elected for this pilot project. Well, from here, after this meeting, we will go to the assembly to go and, you know, see for ourselves some of the pilot projects. And then traditional leaders, if they were engaged on the proposed sustainable program, and whether they were satisfied, if they were satisfied, what was the outcome?
Thank you. Okay, person. I've got a. I'll basically concentrate on the NHVRC entity. And on paper, everything is looking always very nice and good. And really, I already mentioned it in my speech in the health as well, that I'm very worried about this entity. Because there are a lot of these people that are being paid by in the tender process, but they never pitch up on where the houses are involved in our communities. And that is the reason where we get all these bad building houses. They're falling apart in a couple of months after they completed it. The cement they use is not on standard. The wood they use, the zinc they use are not on standard. And yesterday it was in the newspapers. Yesterday it was in the newspapers regarding what happened in Limpopo. Millions and millions of rands are spent on these housing projects. And at the end of the day, it's not completed. So, what I want to know is, and if you are looking on slide 20, is the progress to date, the role of the NBCR, RMC, quality control and assurance, training of local builders, enrollment of housing units, mall awaiting the signatures. All these things that look very nice on paper, but in practice, it's not happening. And I want to know what role are you playing as a department to see that these things are happening and that we get controlled houses in our community. We can't each and every year spend another million, 2 million to revamp the houses. That's not possible. We can't do it. We can't carry on like that. And you must really, from your side, the department, you must get into this matter and you must crack the whip and you must see that the people who's on, that they must be on site. Each and every day they must be on site to see that things that we have quality houses. Otherwise we are moving the whole time backward. And I also want to know what happened to the title deed of these houses. We hand out and we dish out houses all over South Africa, but no title deeds. Are the people getting their title deeds from the department, or how is the system working in regarding to that? At the end of the day, many people in houses, but that's not their houses. And that will create another problem into the future. So we must look into these things very, very urgently. And Chairperson, maybe you are going to react on this, but you mentioned about Kutsong. Kutsong is in my area. And I mentioned it in 2009, 2010, in this committee. I'm worried about that project. There's millions and millions of rands in that project. And if I listen to the municipality's budget at the end of the year, the municipal manager and everyone is get a hell of a lot of bonus, but nothing is happening in that area. They both houses, I was there. The people are already staying in some of that houses. But I just wonder, the people who are staying in that houses, are it really people who is coming from the other side of the road, from Kutsong, and located the new houses? I wonder. That is also something we must investigate. Maybe these new people is coming from all over South Africa and they put in the houses, and the houses are built for the people of Kutsong because of the dolomite issue there in that area. So we must go and have a look. Who's the people staying in that new house? Okay, thank you.
Right, before I give it to the department, I want to comment with something. Yes, I must come in the chest in the second one. You see, DG indicated that when there has been an opportunity, they will come for the shopping mall. And my understanding is correct, because the directive which you gave them is something else. You talk about vouchers. I think that was the comment. Right, from my side, before I give it to other people, I wanted to maybe, if you can, in your response. But let me give you to Babu Jacobs before I come to the last. Babu Jacobs, I saw your and Mama Mabit. But please, colleagues, let us focus to this one.
Sam, thank you. Definitely one or two questions. Because these houses have been built in rural areas. Do they have a memorandum of understanding with the river authority on the building of this house? Secondly, does this include the infrastructure? If you build this house, does it have the necessary infrastructure, or if it is just the upper structure?
Any more questions?
According to the presentation, I understood that this thing is going to go to pilot project in the Eastern Cape. I'm just wondering whether this means
following here, there's no electricity. They go again and dig to put electricity. You know? That also, which is worrying me. Another crucial point relates to the funding model of the voucher system is that the Department of Human Settlement in 2010 stated that the RHLF will be entitled to 5% statutory administration fee calculated on the gross cost of voucher awarded. Another challenge. We are saying that you want to provide, but you are still charging the 5%. These are some of my concerns which I wanted to register with you, that how are we going to do about this? And then also, what are the plans after the pilot project is completed? What will be left? Like Mama Madija raised the thing, of course. I won't put it like that. I will say she's right to raise that concern. Because in South Africa, if you talk about the areas which have passed in terms of the rural area, the most disadvantaged area, you can't leave Bombo out, you can't leave KZN out, you can't leave Eastern Cape out. But what will be next? And then another, what I would say, last one. Yeah, let me leave it there, because I've got a lot of questions which are playing in my mind. That's why I wanted to bring it on board so that maybe we can share with you the disadvantages and the advantages. And then the last one, what makes monitoring mechanism do you have to make sure that other people that doesn't take chances? Because what is happening at the moment, I'll put an example, I used to put this example, because it was an embarrassment whereby last month at the Southern people marched to Pretoria to the president, current president, demanding that they don't have houses, they don't have 1, 2, 3. But when this matter was brought back to the and when they make a follow up to check exactly what exactly is the problem with these people, tell themselves to him, but it was an embarrassment. Only 7 people will be affected. The rest they do have houses. So with this one, what is, because my problem is that from my legal experience, our system are not yet in place to talk to each other, to monitor that, because to pet, I'm from Mpumalanga, I can apply for the house here, go to the chair, apply another house, to me, go to what mechanism do you have on board to make sure that there is no duplication in terms of this. Therefore, I'll give it to you to respond. Well, sorry, your hand was up.
Yeah.
You will be the last one before I
thank you, Chair.
After all, you are more than welcome, Honourable
Yes, I've got 2 questions. The first question is, do we really need this subsidy? Is it necessary? Secondly, is this a training subsidy for burners? Or how does it help?
Thank you, Chair.
make sure that as we implement, we know what it is we should look for. So starting in one province and all the other provinces, there are quite a number of lessons that we have learned. And I think from your input, you're also sharpening us in terms of our conceptualization stages to what things to look out for as we implement. And that's very important before we roll it out. If we were to adopt a big bang approach and say, let's just go to all rural areas in the country and just do it, you find that we can't be able to learn certain things that could impact negatively. So focusing in one area is giving us an opportunity to sharpen our conceptualization and make sure that as we implement, we minimize the risk. And the intended underlying objective for the project is realized. It's for the very same reason, Member Funeval, that we needed to get all strategic role players on board, including NHPRC, so as to make sure that we don't compromise quality. There is a tendency that when we deliver to the rural poor, we then compromise quality, we then compromise our project and program management in the process. So we have identified the roles of important stakeholders to make sure that they play their meaningful role. The challenges that you know about with NHPRC are being addressed. As you know, the minister has also appointed a new board, as you know, and we have also had a presentation from NHPRC about how they are improving on their own capacity to enhance their responsibility in terms of the Act. As you know, that the Act is with them in terms of ensuring that quality assurance in terms of specifications is adhered to. And that is the role of NHPRC, and they are playing that responsibility in this project as well, to make sure that the rural poor are not taken for granted as we implement, and the quality assurance is guaranteed by defining exactly what they should be doing on the ground. And they have assured us that their capacity has been enhanced, not only for this particular project. You know the other challenges that we've had in the past in terms of rectification and other things that they're supposed to be doing. So we've been assured of quality assurance in this particular project as well. And we are looking forward to go there on the ground ourselves and make sure that there is no compromise on the quality of the structures that are being put on the ground. And we are putting everybody into tents, and that's why it's important to enter into MOUs, SLAs, and clearly define the roles and make sure that that is managed through proper agreements in place so that we can hold everybody accountable for his or her responsibility as we implement the project. So it's quite a very critical component of this project, because we don't want this project to fail. If it fails in the pilot, that could put everybody else in a challenge as if the concept itself was not a problem. So we're putting all systems in place to ensure that this particular one is a success before we roll it out. But I'm sure the member can maybe go to specific technical issues that have been raised that are coming directly from your presentation. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Member. I was giving most of the questions that my colleagues will also come to some. There was a question from the member around the training of the local data. The response is yes. You were saying that there is
housing subsidy system. That system for to keep housing system is coordinated, it's a national system, is coordinated from the province, like the department, reports to the DG, the system is maybe that reports to the DG, and then it is then cascaded to the province and the municipality, which is at various stages in terms of accessing the areas, but this, with that system, it will be able to indicate if somebody has ever benefited from the system, he will not be able to get approved for the subsidy. And at the moment, it has been very helpful in identifying the established parts and some of those people who access the system fraudulently. And it is approved and is talking to our Department of Home Affairs to the state. That's that now. We can also pick up the loans. When well approved, if it has reached all the municipalities, the last problem would have been resolved. I should indicate that. And then I may like also to indicate that with regard to the title deeds, we have a department for us to compare that we do have a problem of the law of distribution of title. Some of the problems are traditional. We do have areas where there is no. There were no township establishments, but houses were built and people were staying there. So we have then to make sure that the municipality is working together with some to make sure that we correct so that we can access that type of somewhere it may be terminated that type of part, somewhere that we are looking into that. We had a new monitoring arm for activity or called it a the National Department of Monitoring and Transmission elevated even for the monitoring within our department because we have to use so we now have a monitoring and transmission as a structure within our department. Why NHGRC is doing inspection of so we have a full time monitoring information which report regularly report are going to that one of mission and that is the structure is able to report under the leadership of our teaching. Most of the programs have been identified, some of them have been accepted, but we have that structure sent across the system. We hope we'll be able to come as a good class. And with type of these again we are able to say in rural areas, there are areas where there are no title deeds at all. People use permission or to pass PTO, that means document. So to us, as a department, there is a challenge there. However, we need security of care. We need to know that if the government invests in this area, the protection of the person is there. So we do consolidate settlements that are open. Permission to pass is able to be issued in government. So we do use a permission to pass upon especially in the permission to pass. The challenges are, of course, the infrastructure related, but there are recent developments in Spain at some stage that we are working with the Department of Culture. We have enjoyed relations with COVID. So we as human settlements with our new money, we are a conduit of support and services from other departments. Wherever we go as national, we bring in our colleagues, we bring in the Department of Health Affairs, we bring in the other departments as a support. And we have a good relationship to that extent. And we also have the sanitation department as part of our
Thank you.
one which was raised on the necessity of this subsidy. Now, the genesis of this subsidy, which is a voucher scheme, came about because we, as a department, we noticed that people who live in deep rural areas do not access the subsidy due to the nature of how the subsidy, rural subsidy, is delivered. In most cases, you find that rural subsidy is also delivered via a project link type of a process. Now, there are areas where accessibility is almost impossible, so we allow individuals to access this subsidy on an individual basis in the form of the PHP process. That's how this subsidy was born. And it has been, this is now being piloted because of the state of readiness of the Eastern Cape. The second issue, I just want to elaborate on the issue of consultation with traditional leaders. I thought Mr. Kolasi will be able to say much on that. We had several meetings during the concept stage of this policy. We had several meetings with the House of Traditional Leaders. At their headquarters in Pretoria, and we received a blessing from the traditional leaders from that house to pursue this as a pilot. In other words, we have the support right from the House of Traditional Leaders for this subsidy to be piloted. The other issue which was raised by the chairperson was the question of land owned by other departments. Land by, for instance, Public Works, Department of Agriculture, and also DPE. We do have a steering committee consisting of all these departments. And we have made requisitions for certain land parcels which we have identified as human settlements. The process is, the whole thing is still in process where the relevant political principals will make decisions to release these land parcels to human settlements. So there is, you know, a process. There is a steering committee looking into public land. We haven't yet touched on the issue of the Ngonyama Trust, but we're still concentrating on land parcels which are held by our sister departments. I think that is all.
Started at the end of
of the day when we are looking into type of these, and you give us some answer around that. But I'm still worried about it. At the end of the day, the land is not belonging to the household. It still belongs to the financial leader. And how are we going to resolve this problem when people are starting to say, but this piece of land is my land, it's my house. What are we going to do then from that point? And my last question is, in 2010, it was reported that the year of implementation was about, the amount was 8 million for the first year. And thereafter, it was added for the next 3 years to 25 million. And with all the projections on cost of implementing the program changed since then. Is it more now? What happened in the meantime? Thank you very much.
Some of these ideas we can share. Thank you.
This has to be focused and come. This has not
if material is delivered and it's not easy to access or to transport material to the right site, those things have to be taken into account in terms of the cost model. But there are two elements of the subsidy resuscitation area. One is the subsidy itself you see under the first of the subsidy. So the first part is mainly for professional places, which is a GHM, your site audit, your condition design, even the house plan, because we're looking at more than one house plan. The issue of not seeking the condition, the choice, the beneficiary of the house. So that is covered under that 2000 by the unit. And then for the construction and labor and materials, that's what we've got calculated at 57,900. So, however, these are the answers we want these are the questions we want to answer. We want to find that right cost model and efficient model, but we want to know the answer. We have to come up with that. And then the variant allocation that you see there was the formula used to plan for worst case scenario in terms of assets, emotional, and your case as a contingency for financial allocation to.
Collect the house and then we have one several points, but we want to find
location of the subsidized home is going to be eventually provided by the Department of Energy. So they are buying into our project and we want to do internal installation of energy, including also providing solar system in the process. So they are discussing with that. And then in terms of variation, I think within the project is well explained, but we have a housing code which determines, even beyond other projects, how much better variation can be accessed. If we are to build in a plain or a standing area or a city area or a physical area, there is a certain amount that is allowed. And that amount is converted to 20%. But it has to be applied for separately within the area to the energy so that the contractor is accessing the effect and the respecting requirements.
Who is in the incentive?
No,
I think about secretary and what was incidentally.
the capital, so that we don't just come with new things every time we make the child to come up with things. Because there's a lot of them. Remember, I can just take one. The road you mentioned is 2 years back when we called the department around the Solo, whatever. I'm just writing one.
Yeah.
I mean, so if we could simply do something that we can't deal with, obtaining issues, we deal with them, and then kind of set.
Mama Temba, followed by one of Member Jacobs.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's a good idea that Honorable Member is raising. But the problem will be with the scanner on the table. And also when I look at this entropy oversight, you know, it should just seem like very good if you know this oversight, where are we going to go from the health care person whether our home, you know, it's amazing. I think we must really raise it in the care person forum. You say, if you say NCOP oversight you, then if we do our programs, we know as committees, which committees are going to take part and where are we going to go, so that we are also as committees come up with issues from what we have gathered from the department, critical issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama. Honourable Member.
Yeah, Chair. I think we don't have to forget what we discussed. We before us. Understand what stands out. Because I think that is going to change. The format here is going to change. As we have agreed that more than often we have to go for oversight. So that will begin with your meetings in the chairperson's meeting. That it is each committee will have to come up with its own program, where they want to go and so on. And also I think the input that has been raised by honourable members should form part of that reorganization. So I would say for this year, for this term, up to September, we can take this thing as it is, but for the next term, it should include the new format.
Honourable members, I think to say something was shared in the previous team, but in a different way. Because don't dispute on what was raised by our men, but they are saying, let's focus on this now and now. And then for the next term, they will take in a big one for it. I think that says what it is. And because if the conference is meeting, we're given a chance, all committees, like from the time of this raising, is very much important. Don't want to go back with that one because sometimes it's very difficult. But nevertheless, let's move for an adoption of this program. Honourable Member, who likes and opposed proposing for adoption?
Yes.
Any second that? Mama Bija and Mama Jacob second that. The program is adopted. Therefore, honourable members, we have a one small. Thank you very much. What else? Sorry.
Remember also about the I think that one also must only, even if it has not been done, be on the program so that when we apply them, we know that you not try to just
the meeting will open time, but you are right to put a design of things. Colleagues, to our team, I think the meeting.